My friends at MyPillow, my buddy Mike Lindell, told me he was coming out with a brand new product. It's called the new mattress topper. So I got the new mattress topper immediately, and I've been sleeping on it now for a couple of months. It's the best thing you've ever felt in your life. Now, you literally have MyPillow foam for support. It's a transitional foam that helps relieve pressure points, and it's ultra-soft, patented temperature-regulating cover. And I got to tell you, it has a 10-year warranty, a cover that's washable and dryable. It's made in the USA, backed by their 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee. Once you try this new mattress topper, you put it right over your mattress, you will never sleep better. And right now, you, my radio listeners, you're going to save 30% off when you go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code TOPPER. And by the way, Mike will also give you two standard MyPillows absolutely free. All right, so try MyPillow.com, promo code TOPPER, promo code TOPPER for this great deal and the best night's sleep you ever had. All right, glad you're with us. Write down our toll-free telephone number. We'd love to have you be a part of the program. A lot coming up today. Hannity Watch, the rise of socialism in the United States right before your eyes, the transformation of the Democratic Party into the radical, leftist, extreme socialist Democratic Party, and it is the base. You want to know why Nancy Pelosi cannot sit down with Donald Trump, cannot accept the invitation, the many invitations to go to the White House? You know why Nancy's flying to Hawaii, wanting to fly all over the world and not deal with it, is because her base is going to take her speakership away. So she doesn't have a choice. I mean, the president's offer, before he even made the offer, I thought they cared about DACA, TPS, and all these other issues. And the president reaches out to Democrats saying, all right, this is everything you wanted, including what they wanted, the wall, just 4 years ago. Apparently it doesn't matter. They can't do it. They won't do it. There's a story today about an illegal immigrant arrested for killing four in a month-long span in Nevada. Yeah, but, you know, don't worry, because the House Democrats apparently no longer think radical Islamic terrorism is a threat to national security. Washington Times reports, so now they want to stop investigating terror threats and devote those same resources to investigating Trump. To them, Trump is the biggest threat. The more I dig deeper and deeper into this whole issue of what happened with not only BuzzFeed, but these Covington kids, it is so indicative of how bad things have gotten. I mean, it's really bad out there. The media is really corrupt. They're really abusively biased. Has anybody in the media for a second ever taken the time to go and, you know, say they're sorry that they rushed to judgment? Now, a couple of people did. I saw Jamie Lee Curtis did. I didn't see many others doing it, though. We watched Sunday and, you know, you see people like Chuck Todd. They're just angry that, well, now we're going to be tarred as a group because of this BuzzFeed mistake. Well, his group, by the way, rushed to judgment on those kids and called them racist right out of the box. The president now has weighed in on Covington, and these high school students said they're treated unfairly and smeared by the media. Well, he makes a point. You know, if you're going to be president, I guess you'd expect a certain amount of that. But you wouldn't expect what's happening now. Fox News reporting today, the First Amendment, there are limits. It doesn't allow you to shout fire in a crowded movie theater. But what happens when the fake fraud media gins up their bogus story that puts hundreds of high school students in danger? Reminds me a lot of what happened in the Duke lacrosse case. You know, Duke lacrosse was another example of Sean Hannity being outside the mainstream, standing out there saying, hang on a second, due process, don't rush to judgment, presumption of innocence. And there were things about that story. There were warning signs everywhere. I'll never forget the newspaper at Duke. You know, they had, 80 professors throwing these kids down the stairs? Just rushing to call them all guilty. Why? Because they're athletes. They don't like the athletes on campus. Athletes think too much of themselves on campus. Was that their attitude? Well, a lot of these schools, they don't mind taking the money of that athletics brings into the school. They don't share it with the kids. You know, a lot of these kids get injuries and playing college football and other sports that last a lifetime. You know, but it's, you know, what happens when the phony news media on Friday? Now, let me just go back because this is important. The BuzzFeed fiasco on Friday, the problem isn't just BuzzFeed. This is only the latest example. Later on, Cheryl Atkinson's going to join us from Sinclair, who worked at CBS, and they wouldn't report her stories. And don't forget, she was spied upon herself and has, you know, been exposed because they didn't like her reporting. Anyway, but the problem is beyond BuzzFeed because you get thousands of garbage stories that take on a life of their own. I mean, Friday was just the latest, greatest example. The week before it was manufactured crisis, the Democrats, the media in total sync. It's like, I don't even know if they talk to each other, but they just think the same way and they help each other out and they advance the same propaganda, lies and misinformation. And to hell with anybody who gets smeared, slandered or besmirched in the process. You know, 1,000 garbage stories out there that are reported on the Internet every day. By the way, the biggest errors, Cheryl has the definitive list of the big mistakes on Trump. We'll put it up on Hannity.com. You know, but I got to tell you something. There are other Internet sites that have more credibility than the mainstream media. And BuzzFeed, all BuzzFeed did was feed the fantasy, the hopes, the inner desires, the dreams, the giddiness of the news media in this country to get Trump. How many times? This is it. We got him. Got him. This is it. Well, if it's true, and then they go from if it's true, then they spend the next 10 hours talking about the issue as if it's true. Just because you say if it's true, he should be impeached. And then say the word impeachment 200 times. And that's what BuzzFeed gave them their manna for heaven for that day. Never mind that there was so many different opportunities for them to check themselves. Like, you know, it was a little bit suspicious when the two reporters on the story used anonymous sources and gave two separate interviews. And one of them, one of the reporters says, no, we didn't see the underlying materials. And in the other guy said, oh, yeah, we saw the underlying materials. That was a warning sign. You know, nobody checked this guy Leopold and his atrocious track record. It wasn't that hard to dig it up. All you had to do was use Google. That's how easy that would have been for them if they cared. You know, here's a guy that, you know, was a finalist, we find out, for a Pulitzer Prize in 2018 for an investigative piece on Putin and Russia. But years prior, he had a ton of scandals. Oh, that's right. He claimed that Karl Rove, was going to be indicted. Whoopsie daisy. Sorry about that. And all the other problems that he's had. You know, the fake news, hate Trump media, you know, their fiascos are now with regularity. And it doesn't stop. Because this is what they want to have happen. You know, but here you got now these kids at Covington Catholic School. They had to cancel classes today because of these threats, because of the violence that is being threatened against them. Just like, look at, you know, I took time during the Duke lacrosse case. I actually went out to Long Island to the homes of one of the kids, talked to the parents, talked to a couple of the kids, heard directly from them. They had to prove their innocence in that case. Literally, they had to, oh, here they are on tape going back to the dorm at this time. Oh, here they are taking out money from a bank. It took an enormous amount of money and resources. Now, I'm sure that Duke and everybody else had to pay money at some point. Hasn't been reported on. You know, you got people on social media. You know, look at Kathy Griffin. Kathy, you know, she's the one that holds up a decapitated image of the president's head bloodied so his 11-year-old son can see it. You know, she called for the students to have their private information revealed on social media, which is a practice known as doxing. Then you had freelance vulture journalist wishing death on the students, which resulted in his termination. Subsequent video footage, however, revealed that the students were accosted and yelled at before there was indigenous people activists there and before Phillips and other Native American activists approached the group. If you watch the video, the first video showed the end of that moment when the Native American leader was he says he was praying and hitting his drum as part of a prayer and a ritual. And then the kid said himself, well, I just wanted to smile and show that we are not a threat. But they walked over to him. And this was after you've got this crazy group of people, the black Hebrew Israelites, that are racist and anti-Semitic and just vicious and vile in the tapes. Then we got that footage, and then the whole story flipped. And it revealed the students were the ones being accosted, yelled at, before Phillips and other Native American activists approached them. And I don't doubt the intention that they were trying to calm the waters there. I don't know what happened. I wasn't there. But the so-called black Hebrew Israelites were shouting abuse at the students for wearing their Make America Great Again hats.
Let's make America great again. A bunch of child molested.
See how you got these pompous come down here in the middle of a Native rally with their dirty hat on?
You got all these dirty behind you with a red Make America Great hat again on, and your cool you want to fight your brother.
A bunch of incest babies. A bunch of babies made out of incest.
Dirty ass crackers. By the way, Saturday Night Live, NBC, one of their writers offered to have oral sex to anyone who punches out the Covington High MAGA kid. That person going to get fired? Be interesting to watch. And we've got some other issues that have come out here. But, you know, it's over 24 hours and still Kathy Griffin wants these kids doxxed. You know, we have an NPR talk show host using the Covington kids to claim the wall is about xenophobia and about race. No, it's not. It's about stopping heroin and criminals and potential terrorists from walking across our border. Well, you're calling all of the people that come to the... No, I say 98% are good people that want a better life, but we're asking them to do it easy. And we're asking them to do it legally. And you know, they just push this and push this, and they learn nothing, obviously, from the BuzzFeed incident on Friday. And it doesn't matter. The damage is already done. Class has already been canceled. These kids' lives now, forever altered, never given the presumption of innocence or the benefit of the doubt, ever. And that is what is represented by left-wing radical, what is now the radical left-wing socialist Democratic Party in America today. Identity politics that rules all. Wait till you hear the things that Ocasio-Cortez, she thinks the world is ending in 12 years. By the way, Bill Cunningham is going to give us a report at the bottom of the half hour as he's from this area. One thing that is not political, it's smoking. That's about people. And there are 34 million Americans now that smoke. But for many, there's not been a clear alternative. Juul, for me, has been a game changer. I watch people all the time. They go outside in the middle of the freezing winter just to have their smoke. You don't have to do that anymore because of Juul. Now, people don't have to worry about the smell on your hands. Juul was specifically designed by smokers for smokers to be a satisfying alternative. It's a clean technology. Juul has no ash, no odor, no mess. If you're one of those 34 million adults who do smoke, you now know there's an alternative to cigarettes and cigars. Just go to Juul, JUUL.com/SwitchAmerica. That's JUUL.com/SwitchAmerica. Now, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is an addictive chemical. But just go to Juul, JUUL.com/SwitchAmerica. The world is ending in 12 years. The new radical leftist extreme socialist Democratic Party leader, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
I think that the part of it that is generational is that millennials and people and, you know, Gen Z and all these folks that come after us are looking up and we're like, the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. And your biggest issue is your biggest issue is how are we going to pay for it? And, like, this is the war. This is our World War II.
The planet has a fever.
Yep. By the way, the White House is going forward with the State of the Union address. We'll have more on the rise, Hannity Watch, on the rise of Democratic extremist radical socialism. This is why Nancy Pelosi, polls show Democratic voters, by the way, support the president and wall. Politico has a story out today, pressure mounting on Nancy Pelosi to stop her obstructionism and agree to the compromise that the president offered on Saturday, which it looks like, I think, we'll see what happens in the House. I guess the vote will come by the end of the week this week. But he offered the deal, everything that Democrats said they want about DACA, et cetera. And in order to get the wall, which they had once supported. Anyways, Harris survey found majorities of both Republicans and Democrats say they favored building some type of barrier in high crime areas along the U.S.-Mexico border. I think they understand the dangers of having open borders, the 90% of heroin in our country that comes from south of our border. And one prominent Democrat literally begging the president, you know, to declare a national emergency to build the wall, Joe Manchin. And I think it may come down to that. President will have no choice. They won't sit down. They say they won't even have a conversation with the president. How many times can the president offer them what they want, offer them to come sit down and discuss the issues, and they won't do it? Because they fear the border wall debate is going to doom the party's pretend moderates. Like, you know, you got this guy Jones in Alabama, Doug Jones. He's not going to win in 2020. He's going to lose. You have the Democratic chair of the House Homeland Security Committee saying he's open to the Trump border wall. Representative Benny Thompson, Mississippi. So you're now getting cracks that we didn't see before. All right, got to take a break. We'll get into the radical leftist new socialist Democratic Party as our Hannity Watch segment on that comes up later in the day. When we come back, we'll go to Covington. Our friend Billy Cunningham knows the area well. It's where he broadcasts from, and he will join us coming up next as we continue. Glad you're with us, Sean Hannity Show.
Why pay your hard-earned money to join an organization that fought for a government-run healthcare system and stood against tax cuts for middle-class Americans and small business owners? That's AARP. Join AMAC, the conservative alternative. Same money-saving benefits of AARP without the liberal agenda. Stand with AMAC as they fight the good fight. Become a member today. Join now at amac.us/better. amac.us/better.
All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. The State of the Union will go forward. Details will be coming when they become available. We'll share them with you. Also, the latest in the battle of Nancy Pelosi missing in action, and obviously no concern about either furloughed workers or the 90% of heroin coming into the country, or the fact that there's a story, a guy arrested out in Nevada. Oh, it looks like he killed four people, appears to be an illegal immigrant. That just being reported today. We'll get to the Ocasio world ending in 12 years, radical socialist Democratic Party of today. Also, but first we head to the great city of Cincinnati. Sean Hannity, welcome to the Billy Cunningham Show. You're a great American. I want a full report on all that's going on with Covington and this high school.
Sean Hannity, how are you?
What's up, my friend? How are you?
Well, you know, I was born in Covington.
Right.
I'm a Catholic.
Yes, sir.
And I know a whole bunch of teachers and coaches and students at CovCath. And for those listening around the nation, CovCath is a middle class, not shall I say elite, it is a middle class high school with working moms and dads who send their kids there. This morning at 10 a.m., about 10 or 15 protesters showed up in Covington, and the mayor of Covington, a liberal Democrat named Joe Meyer, shows up at the protest to protest racism in the city of Covington that he controls.
Now,
and the bishop, a guy named Foyes, on Saturday issued a condemnation of Covington Catholic when Bishop Foyes is the bishop of the school. And then earlier today, he launched an investigation in classic AIM fire ready style.
By the
way, it's unbelievable.
And Father Edward Beck said, my feelings haven't changed. You know this Beck guy?
Right. The guy, I watched him on Fox News earlier today. And these boys, this is something. I spoke to one of the chaperones who said none of the boys went there with MAGA hats. None of the boys had MAGA hats. Someone on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial passed out 20 or 30 MAGA hats. They strongly suspect that the Nathan Phillips group or those black Hebrews who are terribly confused about something may have sparked this by handing out the hats themselves. Nope. And these boys are waiting for a bus to pick them up.
Well, let me go back to, because this all got started. I mean, you're right. I mean, I went to a similar type of grammar in high school, Catholic, very middle class. Not extravagant, not that expensive, common. I went 12 years, 8 years in grammar school, 4 years in high school. But, you know, where this all began is you have this group called the Black Hebrew Israelites that are racist and anti-Semitic and, frankly, just vile. This is, you know, calling the kids crackers and all sorts of thing and provoking the kids. And to their credit, they didn't respond that much to them. Here's what they were saying to the kids.
See how you got these pompous come down here in the middle of a native rally with their dirty hat on.
You got all these dirty behind you with a red Make America Great hat again on, and your cool you want to fight your brother.
A bunch of incest babies. A bunch of babies made out of incest.
This rush to judgment, eerily similar to what we saw, what we always see in the media, in the case of UVA or in the case of Duke lacrosse, everybody rushes to judgment. Remember the professors out at Duke lacrosse? They rushed to judgment, put a letter in the school newspaper condemning these kids. Whatever happened to due process and the presumption of innocence, Bill Cunningham?
Sean Hannity, what happened here? You know, there's certain boxes you check if you're a left-wing liberal progressive activist. Check the box. Male? Check. White? Check. Pro-life rally? Check. MAGA hat wearing? Check. Catholic? Check. They checked all the boxes. And so they came into this with preconceived notions as to how we Catholics act. And because these were boys and all those boxes were checked, they put onto the event their own prejudices. And when the videotape came out, and Fox has done a great job the last couple of nights playing these video, at no point did these boys ever say, build that wall. At no point did they do anything to harass. And Nathan Phillips, according to the Washington Times, never was in Vietnam. This thing has fallen apart completely.
Well, it gets worse than that, because then you got these kids, they had to cancel all the classes today. You've got Saturday Night Live as a writer tweeting out that she's offering oral sex to anyone who punches out the Covington High MAGA kids. Then you've got, you know, all these Hollywood stars. They're all rushing to judgment, predictably, and Tim Robbins and John Cusack and, you know, the regular band of liberal Democrats, Alyssa Milano and so many others. I mean, it's mind-numbing to me. Why didn't they just wait? Why does everybody... Look, let me give you an example. Cambridge Police, okay?
No.
George Zimmerman, Ferguson, Missouri, Baltimore, Maryland, Duke Lacrosse, UVA. Well, is there... Richard Jewell, are they ever going to learn? They don't want to learn.
Sean Hannity, earlier today, I had on Rob Sanders, who, as you may know, is the Kent County prosecutor. And I said to Rob, I would assume after the activities of Monday and Tuesday today that things have calmed down. He said the death threats are accelerating. The worst is that there's black suburban Chevrolets driving around with individuals wearing headdresses. The Bishop Foyes, who issued the original condemnation of his own boys on Saturday, has revised and extended his remarks. But they get death threats that they want the doors chained shut and the building burned to the ground using expletives. They have numerous of their boys as parents. Listen to this one. There are parents of that boy whose name I don't want to mention on your national show, but it's all over the place. The boy's parents, the parent's employer has received thousands and thousands of complaints that mother is working at that company. Think about the mentality that goes after the mother of a Catholic high school boy to try to get her fired at her employer. That happened thousands of times Monday and today. Think about that mentality of hate from the radical left in this country. The boy's mother is under fire.
But it's all predictable, and this is the problem. And in light of what happened Friday with BuzzFeed, you know, I printed out 47 pages just from the year 2017 from the Washington Examiner of all the stories that the media breathlessly reported about Donald Trump and his soon-to-be demise that all turned out to be false. Cheryl Atkinson, who's going to join us later, she has the 67 biggest one she's pointed out. But the media is gone, Bill. It's dead.
Gone.
Media.
Gone. Sean, you and I mean, I don't know what to say because each of us want to pass on to our kids and grandchildren. You don't have them yet. I got a couple of them. That leaves a better country than we found it. Our parents gave us a great country, the United States of America. I fear we're headed towards some sort of civil war, occasioned by our media that doesn't do its job and the social media completely cast adrift. Are you concerned that down the road that you're going to pass off to your two beautiful kids a country different than the ones your parents gave you?
I don't even think it's possible anymore. I worry about, you know, look at Ocasio-Cortez. Millennials believe the world. Let me play this for you. Millennials believe the world will end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. Listen.
I think that the part of it that is generational is that millennials and people and, you know, Gen Z and all these folks that come after us are looking up and we're like, the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. And your biggest issue is your biggest issue is how are we going to pay for it? And like, this is the war. This is our World War II.
And like paying for it is important, like very important. Billy Cunningham or her 70% tax rate on people that make money.
The problem is not the fools, Sean Hannity. We've always had fools in American history. We have generational fools like Ocasio-Cortez. Did you hear in the background the hundreds or thousands of people cheering that comment? These characters come on the stage and leave. But what about the fools that put them there? Those fools remain.
Yeah, but there is. But look, I call it Hannity Watch on the rise of radical left-wing socialism in America. But, you know, look at the comments of Comrade Bill de Blasio. He likely wants to be president. There's a lot of money in New York, but it's just in the wrong hands. Or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez proposing a 70% tax rate on people. And also saying it's immoral for our economic system to allow billionaires to even exist. I don't know, do they get the death penalty once you hit $1 billion in net worth? I guess that's it. You're done. You're finished. You don't have a right to exist in America. What about liberty, Billy Cunningham? What about freedom, Billy Cunningham? What about those people? How did they get rich? By working hard 19 hours a day, providing goods and services and innovations that people want, need, and desire? Or are these ill-gotten gains based on raping and pillaging the planet for profit?
Sean Hannity, you and I know over time things are episodic, and what's going to happen in 2020 or 2024, as God is my witness, someone with the philosophies of Ocasio-Cortez or Elizabeth Warren will be the president. Someone with the philosophies of Chuck Schumer will be controlling the Senate, and someone like Nancy Pelosi, maybe not her, will be controlling the House. What happens to America when Ocasio-Cortez is in charge of the banks, the financial system, and the economy? Someone like Bernie Sanders, an avowed socialist. What happens to the country that our children receive from us when they're in charge? Now, there was a point at which we had a 90% tax rate, but the effective rate paid was 21% because everything you did in life was tax deductible. The effective rate is what matters, not the tax rate. So these characters will come on the stage and they'll leave. We've watched it over our time together. They come and they go. But that is cheering in the background. Those who put them there, the useful idiots who vote for people like that, they remain. And because most kids identify today as socialists under the age of 30, what does that say about our country when they vote in large numbers?
I'll ask you another question and change topics on you. Add to this the BuzzFeed story, because this is on Sunday, the Covington kid story. But on Friday, The media went absolutely apoplectic about a story. Now, there were numerous warning signs that I was given out Friday on my radio show. Number one, the two authors, well, they were anonymous sources. One says they actually saw the documentation. The other said they didn't in separate interviews. So I'm saying, well, they wrote the piece. You would think they both are on the same page. They weren't. One of them was well known for getting big stories wrong, like, oh, Karl Rove's going to get indicted. But that's neither here nor there. The hate Trump media, they kept saying, if it's true, and then they spend hour after hour after hour, if it's true, and then go on and talk about impeachment on CNN fake news and MSNBC conspiracy theory TV. 200 times they were mentioned impeachment.
Jake Tapper and Lester Holt wanted the story to be true. So they had the little proviso, if true, when they were hoping. In the UVA rape dormitory story, Rolling Stone magazine, everybody wanted the story to be true because it fit their prejudice. With the Duke rape case, it had to be true because Michael Nyfong, the prosecutor, could not have lied. That guy eventually went to prison for lying, but the media wanted it to be true. BuzzFeed on Friday, they really, really wanted that story to be true because they finally got Wile E. Coyote. Basically, you got the Roadrunner. Trump is the Roadrunner, and the Wile E. Coyote is the news media. And the Roadrunner keeps getting away from Wile E. Coyote. And last week, they thought, okay, we finally got the Roadrunner. We got Trump. We got him now. And then the story blew apart. And one thing, every now and then, CNN has a lucid moment. And Jeffrey Toobin made a lucid comment, of which he makes so few. He said that the people watching us believe the left-wing crazy media reports lies, and this story feeds into that bias. It isn't a bias, Jeffrey Toobin. We know it's a lie. We know what they tell us we can't trust. And when Jeffrey Toobin of CNN has a lucid moment and reports to his viewers, guess what? We're in trouble. They may not start believing us anymore. That's why their ratings are in the dumper.
But the problem is we get it every second of every minute of every hour of every 24-hour day. Hate Trump. That 90% of the coverage for 2018, like 2017, 90% of media coverage of Donald Trump is negative.
I'm surprised it's that low. I thought it was higher than that. I don't see the 10%.
I don't see. Well, Hannity's on the air. There's a little hope there.
Sean, where's the 10% on CBS, NBC?
I'm at
mad out 10% positive.
Telling you. I mean, I don't know what to tell you anymore. All right, yeah. Billy Cunningham, great American.
You're a great American. I don't know. Let's fight like warrior poets. Be like William of Wallace on the gurney.
William Wallace.
With our guts flowing out. Let's just fight and fight and fight against Longshanks. Let's go after him.
Remember what he said to, what was the guy's name? He goes, lead them. If you lead them, they'll follow. And so will I. We need leaders. We need people that'll lead. And then people will follow. Love that. All right, Bill Cunningham, God bless you. You're a great American, sir. Thank you for joining us.
God bless
you. And
America.
Say
God
hi to Tony,
you.
The big dog bender who never calls me and tells me he's working again.
And he's too big for you. He's too big.
I know, yeah, because he's now doing the big one and little 55 KRC he's not that thrilled with, apparently. You know, doesn't love us like he once used to. We used to hate you guys. Yeah. Now he was happy when occasionally we'd beat you. not beat you. Nobody ever beat you in Cincinnati.
No.
All right.
Remember, I was born in Covington, and I'm Catholic.
All right. Well, two strikes against you, and you wear a MAGA hat, you're dead.
And I'm straight.
All right. Thank you so much. All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show. Glad you're with us. Toll-free, our number is 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. You know, there was every single sign and bit of evidence on Friday that you better not rush to judgment on the BuzzFeed piece. Number one, they had already printed and put up the dossier without any vetting whatsoever. Maybe some people found it informative. I did, actually. I read it because I when you read it, you actually laugh at it. That became the basis of the FISA warrant is appalling on so many different levels. But it turns out that everybody was wrong. Again, I have 47 printed pages just of 2017 alone of the media breathlessly, hysterically whipping their audiences into a frenzy. We got him. We got him. We got him. Never mind. We got him. We got him. We got him again. Never mind. We got him. We got him. Never mind. You know, eventually, even the resistance is going to realize that they're just being lied to every day. But it's the typical rush to smear, slander, besmirch, and destroy the duly elected president of the American people. And while, by the way, it's also biased in the sense of stories they don't cover. I mean, how could you not cover that Hillary Clinton should have been indicted in the 2016 election and it was all fixed for her by the top people of the FBI because they didn't want to do their job in her case? I doubt you're going to ever get away with erasing 33,000 subpoenaed emails and destroying your hard drive and destroying your vices. I don't think that's going to work out well for anybody. You know, but they had every obligation. They were, all the signs were there. If all they had to do was look, you know, one of the two co-authors, Jason Leopold, has a long history of just making stuff up and issuing stories without actual sources. Of course, we're always back to anonymous sources. That's just standard operating fare these days. You know, we once falsely reported that Karl Rove would be indicted. His own memoir was canceled out of accuracy concerns and issues. The two co-authors of the piece, they were contradicting each other in separate interviews. One saying they saw the evidence, one saying they didn't see the evidence. There were enough red flags for everybody to just say, whoa, I don't trust this. We need to investigate it before we start spending hour after hour after hour after hour reporting on it. And for whatever reason, the new standard is if it's true, and then they spend an entire hour talking about something they have no idea whether it's true or not. And then late Friday night, the special counsel releases a statement saying it's not true. And that doesn't even stop the Democrats because they're still going to investigate something that even the special counsel Mueller's office says is not true. And they always get away with it. You know, at some point, they've got to realize their credibility is forever damaged. You know, imagine 47 printed pages of hyped up Democratic, they really are tied to the hip. Manufactured crisis was the best example, but they're tied to the hip of the media. Media is basically the extension of the Democratic Party. You know, NPR reports about Don Jr.'s Senate testimony. Remember how big that got? No, sorry, never mind. Or Michael Cohen going to Prague. That never happened. Or the Guardian's bombshell about Paul Manafort, Trump, and Julian Assange. That wasn't true either. Remember CNN staffers, three of them fired over a false report about Scaramucci. You know, last night I was scrolling the examples on television because there's so many of them because they're blinded by this hatred, motivated by money and clicks, and literally none of them are ever held accountable. The mainstream media has never been this bad. Journalism is dead, as I started to tell people in 2007, but in reality, the hate Trump media is just, you know, worse than it's ever been. They're on a mission. They're going to just move on to the next story. By the way, you'll see this because they're not going to find Trump-Russia collusion. So, you know, you notice that they started saying, well, maybe there's a campaign finance issue we can impeach him on. Anyway, Cheryl Atkinson is with us. She's the host of Sinclair's Full Measure and also the author of the New York Times bestsellers The Smear and Stonewalled. What was your reaction to the way the media handled first BuzzFeed on Friday, then learning nothing after being proven wrong, then go right to a rush to judgment on Sunday with the Covington kids?
Well, I have two general reactions. First of all, I've been around a long time, but I learned pretty early on that you cannot make judgments based on initial stories, reports, videos, or whatnot. Too often, over and over and over, people in the news and otherwise are burned because there almost always, I would say, is more context to the story or the story turns out differently. I mean, that's just such a simple and basic lesson to learn. In the case of BuzzFeed, everybody picked up that story, even though it was based on anonymous sourcing. Nobody else could match it. And I really criticized the way outlets like CNN reported on the BuzzFeed report without the proper attribution. This may sound a little arcane, but this gets at the heart of the problem. They were saying things like, two law enforcement officials told BuzzFeed such and such. That's what CNN reported. When they don't know that any law enforcement officials told BuzzFeed anything, that has to be reported with at least proper attribution or skepticism, because CNN doesn't know that any of that happened. They're just repeating another story. So that gets to the second part of my reaction, which is the propagandists know this. They're using us as tools because they understand if they can get an unsourced story that may be dubious or may even be untrue circulating on social media or on a quasi-news site like BuzzFeed, that's the way to get under the skin of the what people consider mainstream media. They'll pick it up and say, hey, this is a story, maybe not our story, but look, we can't ignore it now because other people are covering it. We're being used as tools because they know we do that.
But you've never witnessed to the extent that they are invested, the media, in destroying a president. I mean, Michael Goodwin, I thought, said it best, that it's malpractice if you think you can get away with saying, if true, and then spend hour after hour after hour after hour talking as if it is true. And that's how they do this. That it is the not only the malpractice, it is laziness on a level that is spectacular, but it reveals something pretty profound, is that the news media is literally tied to the hip of the Democratic Party, and they're all about delegitimizing and destroying President Trump. It's obvious where they stand. It's clear what they want. They were literally breathtakingly giddy on Friday all day until the buzzkill of Robert Mueller's office.
Well, this is part of the transformation of the news media that I write about in The Smear and somewhat in Stonewall, which has occurred really over the course of at least 10, 15 years, where we not only ourselves are making these mistakes, but we've invited the propagandists, corporate and political propagandists, into our newsroom. They work for us now. We are one and the same in many cases. So that's why some of these mistakes and narratives aren't by accident. This is part of the strategy. And they're not sorry when they're caught in some instances, because it was part of the plan all along.
Oh, but did you see how arrogant Chuck Todd was on Sunday? This is going to ruin our reputation. I'm like, well, you guys have ruined your reputation already. And, you know, you add to that, it was NBC News that was using the word racist about these kids just by seeing that small snippet. That's his network.
Well, you go back to, again, any snippet of any video that you think you saw in context or a piece of it, even if you think you saw the whole thing, you have to take into account today what can be manipulated. Technically, it's not that hard. And imagine if video can be manipulated or taken out of context, how easy it is to do that with information for which there is no video that has to be manipulated. You can just get narratives started and going on social media, get bloggers and news people to write about them, and, you know, voila, there it is.
I actually was very proud of you. You did a great piece. Now, this goes back a little while, at least I thought it did, and it was 67 media mistakes in the Trump era, the definitive list. There's a longer version of 2017 mistakes. They go into more minute detail than you did in yours, but you just pretty much picked up the big, massive mistakes of the media. We're going to post this on Hannity.com. You spent a lot of time going over this. These are no small mistakes here and missteps here in the major media reporting on Trump. When you see this level of, well, the lack of fact-checking and the desire to, I guess, advance an agenda, what does that make you think about journalism, which I've declared dead back in 2007?
Well, I agree to a large degree that, you know, the list speaks for itself. It's not that mistakes that are being made are in many cases understandable or being made by inexperienced news organizations and reporters. These are supposed mistakes, always on one side, made by some of the most formerly well-respected outlets out there, like the New York Times, the Washington Post, NBC, and so on. And I think I started with 50 of them, but I'm adding to them. The reason you saw this a while back, but the number keeps going up. When I have time, I add to them. And it's incredible. It's as if the previous mistake never happened, because the same lack of due care, the same journalistic standards that were violated in a recent mistake are repeated again in a new mistake, time and again, sometimes with the same news organization.
Well, I think regularly. I mean, you watch the cable networks. Look, Cheryl, if you ask me what I do for a living, what do you think the answer is going to be?
I think you're a personality.
I'm a talk show host. That's how I describe
myself. And a commentator.
I describe myself as a talk show host. I work in the media. I'm part of the press, right? I work on Fox News. I work on radio. Here's what we do as talk show hosts. I would say we're their entire newspaper. I can produce, Cheryl, hours and hours of radio and TV where I am covering, if it's a war or it's a straight interview with somebody or a natural disaster, I just do straight news like any other reporter. I also did investigative reporting by vetting Obama. We've done investigative reporting that the media ignored about the deep state. We've been doing it now for 2 years with great results, in my humble opinion. I also give opinion. You know, we talked about the New Orleans Saints getting screwed on Sunday with a call that should have been made. We talk about sports. We talk about gossip. So basically, I describe what I do as the whole newspaper. But the difference between me and my colleagues on cable and in print, they say that they're one part of the newspaper, that they only do the news part. I do the news, local, state, national, international news, but I do all these other things, and I'm upfront about it. They claim they're fair, they're balanced, they're journalists. But in reality, you know, they're talk show hosts like us, but won't admit it. Why?
It's part of that blurring of the line, I believe, part of the industries that have infiltrated the news industry. And then secondarily, the reward that they get. Ordinarily, just general straight news people years ago were, our goal was to not insert ourselves in the story, to try to keep our opinions and biases out of them. Now, at many places, they're rewarded for inserting it. There are no consequences for putting yourself in a story where they're might have been 15 years ago. Your boss would have said, who cares what you think? You know, report the facts. But now I'm quite sure that they get certain reporters pats on the back when they make certain statements that get picked up and circulated. And
wasn't there good investigative reporting that you did on issues like Benghazi and other big issues that they didn't want to air over at CBS?
Well, you know, that was a complicated story. You're right, to some degree, but they usually assigned me to those stories, loved them at first, and then, as I say, when certain pushback came from certain entities and interests, the lights switched off and the stories would be stopped. But CBS did want those stories traditionally and for many years, and then it started to change. We became more reactive to the special interests and certain conflicted people probably within the network, where by and large it had not been that way for many years, for me anyway.
Well, you know, it's funny. I'm actually proud of the work that we do. I go out of my way to do find news and information that people want, need, and desire that they're not getting elsewhere. I mean, the discoveries on the deep state that we've had over the last 2 years, or going back even further, my vetting of Obama when nobody would vet him. I mean, we went really deep, deep, deep into Frank Marshall Davis, Black Liberation Theology, 20 years in Reverend Wright's pews, the Church of GD America, Acorn Alinsky. And, you know, I thought it was a big deal that Obama started his political career in the home of two unrepentant terrorists. But he only got asked one time during that entire campaign about that issue. And it was a question I fed the day before to George Stephanopoulos. He had never heard of Ayers and Dorn. Pretty shameful, don't you think, on the media's part?
I do think we've done a poor job at applying a consistent standard to the people that we cover in terms of skepticism and investigation. You know, we have hurt our own credibility. There's clearly a double standard in the way we treat the same behavior or the same people if they happen to be in different political parties.
All right, as we continue with Cheryl Atkinson, is with us, host of Sinclair Media's Full Measure. She has a list, the 67 media mistakes in the Trump era, the definitive list. We're linking it to Hannity.com. We'll probably use it on TV tonight as well. We'll get to the campus reform issue as the Covington issue with these kids is still blowing up, even as we speak. No apologies that should have been coming in regularly as of yesterday. And the rush to judgment there to smear, slander, and besmirch these kids. Why? Oh, they had to be to blame. It couldn't have been the Black Hebrew Israelites that were screaming at them and assaulting their character with all the horrible things they were saying. All right, Cheryl, we're just out of time. Cheryl Atkinson, 67 media mistakes in the Trump era, the definitive list on Hannity.com. Cheryl, thank you so much for being with us.
We are hearing from a Native American elder and Vietnam War veteran speaking to CNN after a disturbing viral video shows a group of teens harassing and mocking him in the nation's capital.
An interaction between Native marchers and a group of high school students who were in D.C. for the anti-abortion March for Life. At least some of the students were from Covington Catholic High School in Kentucky. The Catholic Diocese of Covington, which oversees the school, said in a statement, quote, "We condemn the actions of the Covington Catholic School students towards Nathan Phillips specifically and Native Americans in general. We extend our deepest apologies to Mr. Phillips. This behavior is opposed to the church's teachings on the dignity and respect of the human person." The diocese also said the matter is under investigation and that some students could be expelled.
Let's make America great again. A bunch of child molesting.
See how you got these pompous come down here in the middle of a Native rally with they dirty hat on.
You got all these dirty behind you with a red Make America Great hat again on, and your cool ass, you want to fight your brother.
A bunch of incest babies. A bunch of babies made out of incest.
Hi, I'm Sam.
I'm Grant.
And we're here today to talk to you about how the recent negative media controversy has affected us as individuals and our school as a whole. Several media platforms blatantly lied about the events regarding the controversy in D.C., and it has affected us as a community and individuals greatly. There have been many threats against our lives, against our parents. Some of these threats include that we should all be locked in the school and it should be burnt to the ground, the school being bombed, school shooting threats. It's really scary. I know that a lot of people are scared to go to school tomorrow and won't be attending because of what could happen. There have been cops there ever since the incident, and I think there will be a lot more tomorrow. A lot of the negativity and the hate surrounding this event comes from people on social media doxing people that were at the event. I myself wasn't even present, but I'm very vocal about defending my school and my peers, and I have been doxed on 3 separate occasions. This has led to a tsunami of hateful messages and threats and everything above. I was also doxed, as well as my good friend Grant Neltner, in a tweet. A lot of these doxes have been deleted because they realized they were wrong and they don't want to face the backlash for it. A lot of people's parents were also doxed. Their work was called. This could greatly affect their job. They could be fired. There are real consequences for these actions, and it all spews from a 30-second clip taken out of a 2-hour video out of context, and people jump into conclusions before the full story is released.
It is unbelievable. In many ways, it reminded me of what happened with the Duke lacrosse kids. Remember that rush to judgment? Remember the professors? There were 80 or 100 professors at Duke that literally rushed to judgment and smeared and destroyed these kids and their reputation. One of the more shocking things, the Catholic Church in Covington were so quick to race out there and condemn these kids. And then when the truth came out, and that it was a different story, that they never pulled back on it at all. All these incidents that I have discussed in detail and I have mentioned, Duke lacrosse, UVA, Richard Jewell, Cambridge police, Zimmerman and Trayvon, Ferguson, Freddie Gray, Baltimore. All the times they rush to judgment every time, and then they destroy the lives of what are innocent people. Where's the apology from the media to the family? Now, I know that they have a lawyer, and I hope they sue the living pants off of these organizations. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. They're going to win. They have a very strong case because they didn't do their due diligence. They didn't even ask any questions. I would say, too, that if the president was in a position to sue BuzzFeed, he'd probably win that case also. And if you think it can't happen, ask Gawker. Look at the Hulk Hogan case. Look at Melania won, she got $2.9 million in her recent case. This happens. The school is at fault for denying the kids the presumption of innocence. Here we go again. Presumption of innocence, due process. These are simple, core, fundamental principles that make this country great. I remember when Lynn Wood, the attorney for Richard Jewell, went out there. He sued everybody. He was a really nice guy, really smart, tough attorney. You know, I knew him, so he came to New York. We'd deal with these big-time lawyers representing these media companies, and he'd have his southern accent with him and go, well, that's just not the way we do things down where I live. And he rolled every one of them. And while I don't know the specifics, I know they got paid. So it should happen here. What about these Hollywood actors and their meltdown? Why is Hollywood? I thought Hollywood, they were supposed to be compassionate people. They're supposed to be loving people. They're supposed to be superior to the rest of us. Oh, well, when you look at what's been going on, actor Chris Evans, this is appalling, this ignorance, the gall, the disrespect, it's shameful. And when something like this isn't even surprising, it's evidence to our place in the cycle of recreating our darker chapters. Chris Evans said that. Ed Asner, remember him? He used to come on the program. Yeah, this is a disgrace. This is not America. Yeah, it's not when you rush to judgment, Lou. Yeah, Ed, whatever you want to call yourself. Rosie O'Donnell, horrible, smug ass. You know, who are these good Christians? What school is teaching them to hate with such contempt and ignorance? How does this behavior reflect the life and lessons of Jesus Christ? They were bussed in D.C., into D.C. for the March for Life, actor Tim Robbins said. He's the one married to Susan Sarandon. And it goes on from there. You know, why the rush to judgment? Why can't they wait at all? And then basically the same people that blew up the BuzzFeed story, same thing happened with them. John Cusack scolding Make America Great Again Catholics. Stop embarrassing the rest of us, calling those students a disgrace. Well, how about you embarrass yourself, you idiot? Why don't you learn a little something about due process, about the presumption of innocence, before you just jump to a conclusion that turns out to be false? You're a disgrace. Look up the word. It means something. Learn your history, Catholics. Grow some spine, clergy. Lead by example. Stop embarrassing the rest of us who know better. There is no supporting Make America Great Again that can be rationalized. What do you want, a apology tour? You want to give the mullahs in Iran $150 billion more dollars? What's wrong with wanting America to be great? They just cannot get over themselves. Now, Jamie Lee Curtis admitted she jumped the gun about this particular incident on the viral video that went out. And there are two sides to every story, she tweeted. And I made a snap judgment based on a photograph. And I know better to judge a book by its cover. I wasn't there. I shouldn't have commented. I'm glad there wasn't any violence. I hope these two men can meet and find common ground, as can we all. At least she had the decency to pull back on her stupid tweet. Yeah, but where do you go to get your good name back? Infamously stated by Ray Donovan, transportation secretary under Reagan. Yeah, investigated, smeared, slandered, besmirched. He comes out after he's exonerated. Where do I go to get my good name back? Alyssa Milano tweeted a comparison of the supporters of President Trump to the Klan. This is how sick these people are. And let's not forget the entire event happened because a group of boys went to a school-sanctioned trip to protest against a woman's right to her own body and reproductive health care. It's not debatable that bigotry was at play from the start. And Kathy Griffin, who I talked about earlier. I can keep going, but anyway, joining us, we have Cabot Phillips is with us, media director for Campus Reform. Your group, I'm very impressed with what Campus Reform is doing and the tapes that you guys put out. Lawrence Jones, by the way, is a good friend of ours now and a big part of our TV show. He's going to be on tonight. Cabot, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Sean.
Okay, you're seeing the same thing, the rush to judgment, kids on college campuses that are conservative. Right. You this is not new to you.
It's not. This is a growing trend. And for the people that are shocked by this, I would just like to have them read more stories of ours at campusreform.org. We are covering consistent stuff like this where people are waiting to see their opinion on a story. Journalists and people in the media are waiting to see if something is newsworthy simply based on who's covering it or what side of the aisle you're on. And so in this case, the story only received coverage in the first place because these students were conservatives. Let's be honest. If these were students wearing any other political affiliation gear, this would not be newsworthy. But the media rushed to cover it because they had these MAGA hats on. And I'd also like to point out an update for your listeners. Today, the gentleman in that video, the Native American gentleman who went up and initiated this whole conflict, he was offered a chance to meet with these students. And he was asked if he would sit down and work things out. And he turned it down. He said he had no interest in meeting with them. Now that, of course, the story has been debunked, and I think it just shows this guy's more interested in attention than actually reconciling any situation.
I just always give – he said he was doing a prayer. Obviously, the Black Hebrew Israelites, a very racist, bigoted, hateful group that were taunting these kids. So there was a commotion, and the Native American leader was, he said, saying a prayer as he was hitting his drum and walking towards the students. And he walked right up to that student. And that's what the first video didn't show. They just picked it up where he was there, as if the kid was confronting the Native American. And they have every right, they had, I guess, Indigenous Peoples Day there, and to do whatever they want. He said he was saying a prayer. We don't know what's in somebody's mind or heart. I think given the opportunity, they should meet. But the people that were causing the trouble were the Black Hebrew Israelites attacking the kids for no reason. That's why it all happened, and nobody tells that story or talks about that group.
And thank goodness there was video of this in the first place. If we didn't have more videos proving what actually happened, these students' lives would continue to be ruined if they haven't already been ruined as a result of this. So thank goodness there was video. And you bring up a good point about due process. For so many conservatives in America, especially what we cover on college campuses, there's no due process if you're a conservative. People make up their minds on you. And if it's your word against the word of a college professor or an administrator or anyone else in society, because you are conservative, by that, you know, for that reasoning, so many people are out to get you, and they're going to ignore all facts and evidence because of that. And I would just like to address the media that was so quick to jump on this story. As someone that works in media, when we get tips like this all the time at Campus Forum, we get sensational tips sometimes that sound too good to be true, or they sound incredible. And you know what we do? We vet them. You do what any good journalist does. You dig into the story, you get questions, you get evidence, and then you run the story. This shows how many of these journalists.
By the way, you're a college student.
Push out their narrative.
Why does a college student have to lecture people in the media on the simple basics and the fundamentals of just doing their job properly? You know, it shouldn't be that way. It should be. And by the way, college campuses, well, they ought to be bastions of freedom of speech and the free and open exchange of ideas, ideals, opinions. Look at Notre Dame, by the way. They're covering up murals of Columbus. One college student is in tears. This is a Blaze story over a banana peel in a tree because it didn't make them feel safe. I don't know what that's about. Anyway, 800-941-SHAWN is our number. We're going to come back. We'll continue with Cabot Phillips. All right, as we continue with Cabot Phillips, he's the media director of Campus Reform, and we're talking about, obviously, Covington. What did you make of the Hill's article that Notre Dame is covering up murals of Christopher Columbus on their campus, according to an announcement from the university's president, Reverend John Jenkins? He wrote a letter to the university that many have come to see the murals as, at best, blind to the consequences of Columbus's voyage for Indigenous people.
This is the new trend on the left, and especially on campuses, of erasing history if certain aspects of it make people uncomfortable. In this case, these were paintings and murals from the 1860s. These were incredible works of art that the university is now saying, well, Columbus might just be a little too offensive for our students to be able to handle, so we're going to erase them. And if you're looking at history and you're only going to honor people and only recognize people if they were perfect, you're not going to have very many people left in society or in history that you can actually go with. And of course, Christopher Columbus did some things that weren't ideal, that were bad things. But if you're going to erase him just because of those minor things, just because of the small part of his life, then that's the wrong step. And it's interesting also, this took place on MLK Day. The president said that it was in removed it as a symbol of MLK Day.
What's happened to you and people in your group when you guys try and speak on campus and you're just known as a conservative?
That absolutely. When I'm there on campus last week, I was at American University filming a video trying to interview students, help them wake up and hear different ideas. And the administration came out and kicked us off campus, said we couldn't be there. I've gotten all sorts of threats on social media. It's part of my liberal privilege tour, as I called it. I had people, professors writing op-eds, urging people not to attend my events. Of course, none of these people would actually come out and debate me. We had students standing up and staging walkouts. We faced all sorts of things. They do whatever they can to try and control the narrative on campus. Of course, the administration, in the face of these threats, never really does anything. They let them go, and that's a common thing for conservative speakers to face when they go to college campus.
Unbelievable. All right. Thank you for sharing. We appreciate it. Cabot Phillips, Media Director of Campus Reform, a group that's doing a lot of good work and also taking a lot of heat. God forbid you're a conservative at a college campus today. You're like, you got a target on you as the enemy. All right, 800-941-SHAWN, our toll-free telephone number. Quick break, right back. News Roundup and Information Overload Hour coming up at the top of the hour. 800-941-SHAWN if you want to join us.
Coming up next, our final News Roundup and Information Overload Hour.
All right, News Roundup, Information Overload Hour, the news we have not gotten to, and we'll get your calls in this hour. 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. You know, it doesn't matter. I found this fascinating. There's a story out today where even though we now know so much about this issue of BuzzFeed, that doesn't matter. Because you have Democrats, as I said, the only thing they want to do is spend every minute, every hour, every day investigating Donald Trump. There was another story in the Washington Times today. House Democrats no longer think radical Islamic terrorism is a threat to our security. So they want to stop investigating terror threats and devote those resources, get this, to investigating Trump. But of course, they never told you that during the campaign. That effort led by the new reorganization of a committee by Elliot Engel, a New York liberal Democrat. I'm disappointed with Engel's reported plans to eliminate the terrorism, nonproliferation and trade subcommittee for one dedicated to investigations. You got every other one. Now, for example, we've got Shifty Schiff. The biggest liar in Congress is Adam Schiff. He just lies. He's been lying about the Trump-Russia issue the entire time. Anyway, he's out there saying that he's going to investigate the BuzzFeed issue. But remember, it's already been debunked by Mueller. So why waste taxpayer time and money?
So there is a lot more to learn. And
are you still going to investigate the claims?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Congress has a fundamental interest in two things. First, in getting to the bottom of why a witness came before us and lied.
Mm-hmm.
And who else was knowledgeable that this was a lie?
Okay, you're investigating something that was debunked by the special counsel. Now, maybe you think about doing something for the American people. Maybe fight for jobs. Maybe you can take some of that time and go to one of the dinners that the president has been offering to sit down with Democrats.
But he can't.
Why can't he?
He's very busy talking to people who do Russia radio. You might remember this.
Okay, and so Busova met with Trump in New York at some point after the 2013 Miss Universe
yes.
pageant.
Absolutely. And she got compromising materials on Trump after their short relations.
Okay. And what's the nature of the compromise?
Well, there were pictures of naked Trump.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so Putin was made aware of the availability of the compromising material?
Yes, of course. Buzova shared those materials with Sobchak, and Sobchak shares those materials with Putin because she's a goddaughter of Putin, and Putin decided to press on Trump.
And the materials that you can provide to the committee or to the FBI, would they corroborate this allegation?
Sure, of course. When they were in Ukraine, we got their conversation by the phone where they discussed those compromising materials. We are ready to provide it to FBI.
So you have recordings of both Sovchek and Buseva where they're discussing the compromising material on Mr. Trump?
Absolutely.
This is the Democratic Party's leader into so-called collusion with Russia to influence the 2016 election. He was totally scammed by some radio guy in Russia. And the dope is they're conspiring all on tape. What an idiot. I mean, and we're supposed to take it seriously. that he cares.
The funniest part about the whole tape.
What is the nature of the compromise?
Of the materials.
Of the materials.
And I'm just like, dude.
Naked pictures of Mr.
Trump. Oh, and Putin was made aware of these naked photos. Oh, yeah, we took them right to him. Yes, right. Goddaughter took the naked photos right in. Like, what a move.
It was his goddaughter that apparently, I guess, had the relationship with him.
Well, clearly, I mean, when I think of my godfather, things I'm going to show him are naked pictures of the president, by all means. What an idiot.
We got a little truth out of Chris Matthews for once. Chris now saying that Trump made the Democrats look like fools, which he really did, as it relates to Nancy Pelosi's big trip around the world. Now, think about this, that she goes on vacation in Hawaii. Then the other Democrats are on that lobbyist paid junket with a private jet. What happened to carbon footprints they were supposed to be so concerned about?
Well, we don't need to worry about that anymore because the world's going to end
in
12
years.
My
favorite was 12 years. It's over. Yeah.
12 years. That's all you got.
My favorite, though, was Menendez on the beach with the girl in the bikini. And I could hear, I felt like I was reading his lips. I thought he said, "Would you like me to apply more sunscreen?" I don't know. Maybe I'm not good at it. But anyway, here's what Mr. Thrill Up His Leg said.
They were in the bus heading to Joint Base Andrews. He made him look like fools coming back, sitting there at the Capitol in the driveway there, basically trying to figure out what's coming next. He caught them in the act as if they were sneaking out of town and made them look stupid. I mean, it looked like a political dirty trick to me.
Oh, looked like a political dirty trick. So we're in the middle. Democrats care about the furloughed employees that they're worried about not getting their checks. If Nancy did get on that plane, taxpayer funded, of course, and went on those trips, she wouldn't have been back in time to open the government anyway. Now, they have rejected every offer. Before the president gave his offer on Saturday, they had already rejected the offer. They wouldn't sit even with the vice president. They decided to send their aides because I guess they were too busy, which is pretty outrageous. Oh, by the way, we have another illegal immigrant man suspected of living in the U.S. illegally, shot and killed 4 people in Nevada this month. That just came out today. We have 4 more angel parents, I guess, out there that at some point we'll be talking to. But, I mean, it's so obvious that the Democrats, I don't think Nancy can sit down at all with Donald Trump because she's going to be thrown out. She doesn't have the power. And some of the other news we've got, we have Hakeem Jeffries, congressman. Trump is a grand wizard of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
We have a hater in the White House. A birther in chief. The grand wizard of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. One of the things that we've learned is that while Jim Crow may be dead, he still got some nieces and nephews that are alive and well.
There's nothing they won't say. But by the way, this is the old playbook. This is the playbook every election year. Now for the Democrats, it's the everyday playbook because they have no intention except endless investigation, impeachment, voting on issues that are never going to be taken up in the Senate. And then, of course, they want the crumbs back. And in 12 years, well, the planet's finished. We're done because of global warming, according to AOC. By the way, it's not cool to call her Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. You got to call her AOC.
I think we might have to boycott the AOC. You know why? Because all these leaders in our past, like JFK, LBJ, I just don't know if I want her in acronym space yet. I don't think she deserves it. I'm going to call her Ocasio, or maybe Oscario, or Ocrazio.
I like Oscario.
I like Oscario.
Socialist, though.
You know, socialist.
I went through this earlier today. I mean,
maybe we'll put a poll on Hannity.com. What should we call her? Oscario?
What should we call her?
Anyways, this is her.
All right, we do have a tape of her. She's talking, millennials believe the world will end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. Okay, let's listen.
I think that the part of it that is generational is that millennials and people and, you know, Gen Z and all these folks that come after us are looking up and we're like, the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. And your biggest issue is your biggest issue is how are we going to pay for it? And like, this is the war. This is our World War II.
Like when the world ends in 12 years, Oscario, I won't care because I'm Sean Hannity and I'll be in the woods.
I already told you, well, Sean Hannity's going to be in the woods somewhere.
He'll be in the woods.
You mean basically I'll be dead. The real fascinating side of this, though, is the poll that came out that we mentioned earlier in the program today. And, you know, it's a little bit scary because if you look at it, there's a lot of people that love her so much they want her to be president. And then if they had an opportunity to vote for her, they would vote for her to be president.
Can we play another Oscario?
Another Oscario. Go ahead.
Do you think it is moral for individuals to, for instance, do we live in a moral world that allows for billionaires? Is that a moral outcome in and
no,
of itself?
Mm-hmm. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not. And it's not. And I think it's important to say that I don't think that necessarily means that all billionaires are immoral. It is right. Not to say that someone like Bill Gates, for example, or Warren Buffett mm-hmm. are immoral people. I do not believe that. But I believe
he kicks his dog.
Right.
Like
yeah.
That.
I don't. I'm not saying that. But I do think a system that allows billionaires to exist when there are parts of Alabama where people are still getting ringworm because they don't have access to public health is wrong.
74% of Democrats would consider Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for president if she were old enough. Well, she sounds just like de Blasio. De Blasio is saying that there's plenty of wealth. The problem is it's in the wrong hands.
Millions of people in this city, tens of millions across the country, are boxed into lives that just aren't working for them. You haven't been paid what you deserve for all the hard work. You haven't been given the time you deserve. You're not living the life you deserve. And here is the cold, hard truth. It's no accident. It's an agenda. An agenda that's dominated our politics from Reaganomics to the Trump tax giveaway to the wealthy and corporations. Here's the truth. Brothers and sisters, there's plenty of money in the world. There's plenty of money in this city. It's just in the wrong hands.
Let's take it. Let's charge that hill and take it all.
I think what's most moving about that entire speech is just the way he talks. Brothers and sisters.
No, we might as well have just said comrades crying out loud.
It's such a crock.
It's not, though. This is the Hannity watch, the rise of socialism in America. I mean, if 74% of Democrats would vote for Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and she wants a 70% tax and she's saying it's immoral that America allows people to become rich and wealthy, it's not immoral. That's the blessing of liberty and freedom. With freedom comes responsibility. And as we continue, Sean Hannity Show, News Roundup, Information Overload Hour, Hannity Watch on Socialism. You know, people make choices every day of their life. There are some people that made choices that they don't want to work ever. And when you don't want to work, you don't get paid. And for example, I'm a lunatic. And all my life, since I'm 8 years old delivering papers, I have wanted to work. Then because I wanted money in my pocket, now because of the things I deeply believe in. And I know everybody in my life that I know that is successful. I don't know anybody. I don't know silver spoon people. I know a couple, but not many. And even they took advantage of the opportunities that were given them that other people don't have. And they built businesses and they provide goods and services and they work hard. I don't know people that work 8 hours a day. I've never worked 8 hours in my career. 30 years in radio now, 23 years at Fox. You think I work 8 hours a day? People say, you're only on the air 4 hours a day. I'm like, are you out of your mind? How do you think I get to talk for this long and have something to say, whether you like it or not? Everybody I know works and works and works. And the harder you work, I always say to my kids, because they're tennis players, you know, tennis represents and is very reflective to life. The harder you work, the better you're going to do. It's that simple. Now, there are some people that don't want to work hard. And there are other people, God bless them, they choose careers that they know going in is limited in pay, but they're called to a higher purpose. I think some teachers, they're called to do that. I think coaches are called to do that. Policemen, firemen, first responders, EMT guys. They could not imagine any other life than what they do, and they love it. Now, that's a difference. They knew they weren't going to get rich doing that. Now, they should be fairly compensated. All right, got to take a break here. But, I mean, this is now what I'm... When we're talking about Hannity Watch on socialism, this is it. Because we're watching an attempt of the left to hijack their entire party for the purpose of redistributing wealth. Let me say it another way. They basically want to, by law, confiscate 70% only on a federal level of what you've got. Then if you live in New York, you get another 10% taken away.
And I have a little surprise for these folks.
If you have New York City.
I guarantee you these people, if you give them money in their hands, and then you try to take it out of their hands and show them how it felt.
Oh, they'll piss it away.
Oh, forget it. No, they would never let you have it. My money.
Think about this. 70% Ocasio tax, 10% state tax, 4% city tax. Then you got your property taxes. You don't have, you're giving it all away. Now, name me the country that has ever made that sustainable. You destroy all human initiative in the process.
The Klan was what we would call today a domestic terrorist group.
Why? Why would we call them domestic terrorist group?
Because they tried to use fear and force to change political environment.
And what was the motivation for the use of fear and force?
It was based on race and ethnicity.
Right. Are you aware of the perception of many about how the power and the discretion at ICE is being used to enforce the laws? And do you see any parallels?
I do not see any parallels between
I'm talking about perception.
Officers and agents.
I'm talking about perception.
I do not see a parallel between what is constitutionally mandated as it relates to enforcing the law.
Are you aware that there's a perception?
I see no.
Are you aware that there's a
that
perception?
That puts ICE in the same category as the KKK. Is that what you're asking me?
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
All right, that is, well, Hannity Watch and the vetting of the 2020 candidates. You know, I'm going to tell you, this is going to be an amazing shift from 2018. And the shift is going to be very simple. That is that they hid everything they believe in the hopes that, well, just elect. We won't talk about impeachment, but we really want impeachment. We're not going to talk about open borders and getting rid of ICE or comparing ICE to the KKK or saying, well, there's a perception out there that ICE is like the KKK. We're not going to tell you any of that. All we're going to do is we're going to hide what we believe. We want the crumbs back, but we're not saying it. And we're going to hope that people just vote for us because, well, we're different than Donald Trump and you don't like Donald Trump. By the way, it didn't work out that well when you look at the historical perspective of midterm elections. Some people think this was a wipeout. It was not. A wipeout was the first midterm that Barack Obama faced where he lost 6 Senate seats and 63 House seats. Or Bill Clinton, who lost 8 Senate seats and ended up losing 52 House seats. I think the president in the end lost, 39 House seats and picked up Senate seats. So very, very different. But of course, your media is never going to portray that accurately in any way, shape, manner, or form. Also, we have more fallout, as we've been talking about today, as it relates to the tsunami of threats now forcing Covington High School to have to close. And it's unbelievable the rush to judgment there. At a Saturday Night Live writer offering oral sex to anyone who punches out the Covington High MAGA kid. I mean, is this how that's acceptable at NBC? Because NBC has that woman under contract. I don't demand firings. I don't support boycotts. But boy, if a conservative said anything similar to that. Anyway, so classes closed. The uproar persisting in all of this. And, of course, we can go to Kathy Griffin, you know, posting, you know, calling on people to shame and identify the high school boys who were wearing their Make America Great Again hats on social media. She's still doing it. I want names, she tweeted Sunday. Shame them. And if you think these heifers wouldn't dox you in a heartbeat, well, think again. She made a similar call in a separate tweet again on Sunday. Posting a person's private information without their express permission is a direct violation of Twitter rules. A Twitter spokesperson telling the Daily Caller over email, some have called on Twitter to remove Griffin's post. Remember, she was acting like the victim when she had the decapitated head of our president, which we now know Barron Trump, who was 11 at the time, saw. She doesn't seem to care about other kids. The president's weighed in on this. The Kentucky students are symbols of yet more fake news and how evil it can be, you know, which he's right about. The rush to judgment continues just like it always does. Cambridge police acted stupidly. George Zimmerman's guilty. The cops in the Freddie Gray case are guilty. Darren Wilson is guilty. None of this happened. When you get to the facts and you get to the truth, it's like the Duke lacrosse case. You know, it's amazing. It's funny. All those people that say Hannity's not a journalist. Well, we can go back, and I actually did go down to interview George Zimmerman. I don't know of anyone else that tried except Barbara Walters. I don't know anybody else that reached out except Barbara Walters. We studied in great detail the Stand Your Ground law of Florida. In the case of Duke Lacrosse, I actually took the time and I went to the home of one of the kids. Numerous parents were in that meeting with a couple of the kids there themselves. You know, not the best time in their lives, but I went, reached out, asked questions, investigated. You know, we vet Obama. They don't touch Obama. Want to talk about media bias? There's two ways you have bias, what you cover biasly. Like, for example, the hysteria over BuzzFeed. It's true. This is it. He's impeached. You say impeachment 200 times, but they won't cover the fact that the FBI, at the upper levels of the FBI and DOJ, rigged a criminal investigation into Hillary, who otherwise would have been arrested if we applied the laws of this country equally to her. What's cut two, Linda? Tell me what cut two is instead of
We're
just talking
deep
in my ear.
In the realm now of credibly impeachable offenses.
Impeachable.
Impeachment.
Impeachable.
Impeachment.
Impeachment.
Impeached.
Impeachable.
Impeachment.
Impeached.
Impeachment.
Impeachment.
Impeachable.
Impeachment.
Impeachment.
It seems like an impeachable offense.
Impeachment.
Impeachable.
Impeached.
Impeachment.
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 Impeachable.
Impeachable.
Impeachment.
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 Impeached.
Impeachable.
Impeachment.
This is
the tip of the iceberg for a president that is going down.
Tip.
Hey,
tip.
Sean,
he's going down. What?
That was cut too.
Yeah. By the way, what was it last week? It was all manufactured crisis. Democrats, media, they all use the same words. They come to the same conclusions. They coordinate their messages. And they figure if they say manufactured crisis enough, that's finally going to work. Then you can add to that the fact that, in this particular case, if true, it's beyond malpractice. They don't care.
Sean, could we play that montage? Actually, it's a very good montage.
Go ahead. Would you like to?
I think it'd be great.
Since you're in such a good contributing mood today.
I'm just here to support you so that they can hear it back in their own words.
Yeah, you support me with some coffee. Go ahead.
You're welcome.
Right,
if this
play.
BuzzFeed News report is true, then we are likely on our way to possible impeachment proceedings.
Wrong.
If it were to be true, it means the president told someone to lie under oath, which very simply is a crime and is impeachable.
Wrong.
If this story is true, we must begin impeachment proceedings.
Wrong.
If you can prove that the president ordered it, that to certainly rises to the level of impeachable offense.
Wrong.
We're going to know if the president of the United States committed a federal felony, and at that point we are in high crimes and misdemeanor, and we are in impeachment territory.
Right.
Wrong.
Is that an impeachable offense?
This is suborning perjury. I think there's no question it's an impeachable offense.
Wrong.
That is considered an impeachable offense.
Wrong.
Absolutely, these are impeachable offenses.
Wrong.
Inside that answer, I did hear the I word impeachable.
Impeachment is a very fine alternative way to deal with this.
Wrong.
Democrats will move
maybe faster, maybe more aggressively toward impeachment.
Wrong.
There are an awful lot of similarities between a couple of the articles of impeachment against Nixon and the elements of this story.
Wrong.
The very same offense for which the House of Representatives moved to impeach Richard Nixon.
Wrong.
In the past, been impeachable.
Yeah, that is the exact way that Nixon was kicked out of office. I know, we got to talk about...
Wrong.
It's one of the things that drove Richard Nixon out of office.
Wrong.
Wrong. On a spectacular level, they're wrong. By the way, has anyone apologized to the kids? And, you know, has there been any media outlet agency offered to help the students for their rush to judgment? Now, they have an attorney, which I'm glad they have. And I hope this attorney does exactly. There's a guy in Georgia that represented Richard Jewell. His name is Lynn Wood. I knew him at the time, and I've known him over the years. I interviewed him. It's been a long time, though. He was a great attorney. You know what he did? He got every tape. He went to every news organization, and he absolutely pulverized every single one of them, rightly so. I think a lot of them were probably non-disclosure agreements, but I guarantee you they all paid a heavy price. Obviously, they haven't learned anything, but they paid a heavy price. So we got John Kerry. I voted for the $87 billion before I voted against it. This is the guy that comes back from Vietnam and trashes his own fellow Vietnam vets and accuses them of torture. Do we still have that tape? Remember when he got back from Genghis Khan, he says, the way he said it? Anyway, Kerry's appearance at Davos at the World Economic Forum to call for the president's resignation. Oh, I didn't think that senators, I thought, you know, politics ended at the water's edge, and Trump should resign, he's saying, in Davos. Interesting. The House, a House Democrat apparently no longer thinks that radical Islamic terrorism is a threat to our national security. So instead, according to The Washington Times, they want to stop investigating terrorist threats and devote some local, the same resources to investigating Trump. That's what's more important. That's Elliot Engel's genius, a New York liberal Democrat. Yeah, well, let's not look at terror. Let's look for the 400,000th time into Donald Trump. Anyway, let's get to our busy phones. You didn't find that J.C. Owen, did you, Jay?
They told the stories of times that they had personally raped, cut off ears, cut off heads, taped wires from portable telephones to human genitals and turned up the power, cut off limbs, blown up bodies, randomly shot at civilians, razed villages in fashion reminiscent of Genghis Khan, shot cattle and dogs for fun, poisoned food stocks, and generally ravaged the countryside of South Vietnam.
I actually did vote for the $87 billion before I voted against it.
Yeah, before I voted against it. All right, let's get to our busy phones here. We have a great show tonight on Hannity, the great one. Mark Levin is stopping by. Lindsey Graham stopping by. We got a lot of fights, a lot of updates we're going to get to. Covington, the corrupt media, BuzzFeed, the latest on the deep state, border fight, much, much more. Let's go to Donna, Staten Island, New York. Hey, Donna, how are you? Welcome to the all-new AM 710 WOR. How are you?
Hi there, Sean. Great. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
Sean, it seems to me, I think a lot of us realize that there's been an attack on masculinity. And now I think, if you think about it, throw into the mix Catholicism. And the reason being, it might be that the left is starting to gear up their attacks on Catholicism as a whole because they fear that if anything happens to Ruth Ginsburg, the next person on top of that list is Amy Coney Barrett, and she's a devout Catholic. That would also mean that there's a lot more Catholics on the Supreme Court, and they're trying to debase the Catholic faith. And that's what part of the attack on these young men is. It's not just that they're young white males wearing MAGA hats. Now there's also another aspect to that. And if you think about it, also the situation, I don't really remember exactly the guy's name, but he was on the Knights of Columbus, and they were trying to say that he being a Catholic, that would be a negative in that situation as well. You know what I'm talking about, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm just starting to see that I think that a lot of this... a lot of this vitriol from the left is almost because they're kind of stacking the deck so that there'll be a very negative impression of Catholicism. And that's why when Amy Coney Barrett
you know, is possibly nominated, which we hope she will be, they're already stacking that deck against her and her faith.
Well, look, I think she would be a great choice. I would not be surprised in any way if the president picked her. I don't know if there's an opening on the U.S. Supreme Court, but we know what's going to happen. It's going to be Bork. It's going to be Thomas. It's going to be Kavanaugh. It's going to be smear, slander, besmirch, destroy. Guaranteed, no question about it. But hopefully we will be able to, you know, handle it as we did the last time. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. We have an incredible lineup. Hannity tonight on the Fox News Channel. New breaking story by our good friend John Solomon. The Clintons were involved on at least six occasions getting in touch with the FBI to advance the Russia narrative on Trump. Looks like they're up to their eyeballs in this. We'll blow that story wide open. That's coming up tonight. Also, the obvious, we'll have the latest on the Covington kids and the BuzzFeed disaster as it is. We also investigate Hannity Watch on socialism as we go to Ocasio-Cortez's district. Oh, wait till you see this. Alan Dershowitz, John Solomon, Sean Spicer, Lawrence Jones, the great one, Mark Levin, Lindsey Graham, Sarah Carter. 9 Eastern tonight, Hannity, Fox News, set your DVR, and we'll see you tonight back here tomorrow.